You're listening to the
number one
radio,
Trim Radio Network.
You're listening to The Brighter Life Show with your host, natural health practitioner, Dr. Leslie Berkland, and the Brighter Life Institute founder and vibration expert, Nicholas Brighter. Topics span from holistic lifestyles, meditation, natural medicine, spirituality, and finding your joy. Here at The Brighter Life Show, we want to hear from you. Call us at Trim Radio Network and ask questions or share your most uplifting story. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Life Show. I am Dr. Leslie Berkland, and you're listening to Trim Radio. And we want to thank the fine folks at Trim Radio for allowing our show to air on their network. It is a streaming network that is 100% owned and operated by veterans, and we truly appreciate that. Anyway, today we're going to talk about vibration levels. We've talked about this on other episodes, but we're going to get a little bit more detailed. I have some clients call me and they had listened to the show and they said it was a little over their head. They didn't really understand the purpose of even knowing your vibration level, recognizing other people's vibration level. What is vibration level? So we're going to get a little more detailed into that. We are sponsored today by the Brighter Institute, and Nicholas Brighter, who is the founder of the Brighter Institute, will be joining us later. Nicholas Brighter is our vibration expert, so he may be correcting me. we'll find out when he joins us a little later. But for now, you know, there is a book that I just want to recommend that everyone buy if you are interested in vibration levels. It's a book by David R. Hawkins. He is a medical doctor and he also has a PhD. And he wrote a fabulous book called Letting Go, The Pathway of Surrender. And I have been listening to the book. I've read the book. Actually, I've read the book twice. I listened to the audio tape of the book. And even then, I always find something new in the book, or I just see something a little bit differently. So it's the kind of book that you can just keep with you. I actually had a trip the other day and I read it on the airplane. I read it in my hotel room after I'd already read it. And so it's really a fabulous book. And I came up with new thoughts and ideas about it. And so he basically, what Dr. David Hawkins does is he basically talks about vibration levels and levels of emotion, but most importantly, how to raise your levels, how to surrender the feelings and the emotions that are keeping you down, and so that you can move up the scale. And why do you want to move up the scale? Why, you know, sometimes we're just perfectly happy being sad all the time. That's where we want to be. And the reason we want to raise it is because your quality of life and your well-being, your mental well-being, will be enhanced. I believe, and many people believe, but you have to start somewhere. And this is a terrific book. There have been multiple YouTube videos, other streaming shows where they dedicate almost 100% of their time to the book, Letting Go, The Pathway of Surrender. So after you listen to us speak, if there's something that you really are interested in, this would be a first book that I recommend. I highly recommend it. He is a scholar, but the book is written for us. It's written for you and me, just, you know, a regular person, so that we can understand it and appreciate it. So he's not writing to his fellow, academics. A little bit. I mean, some things you do have to read a few times to really grasp the book. Anyway, so there is a chapter, and it's actually called The Anatomy of Emotions. And it's part of the book, you know, Letting Go. And he just really wants to simply clarify, you know, just briefly, you know, what vibration or energy levels mean. And he really starts out explaining I think we all learned this in the sixth grade, that everything emits energy. Our thoughts, our feelings, our bodies, the air we breathe, people next to us, our planet, the sky, the sun, everything, it emits some sort of vibration or energy, even a rock, things that are solid. So we learn this in school, that everything is based on vibration. And so we're all at different consciousness in life, and what we feel, you know, based on our thoughts and how we're feeling. So in other words, how is it that two people can experience the very same thing? They can witness and experience an event, but they have completely different attitudes, different feelings about it. Some people may be traumatized. Some people may learn from it. Some people may recognize, well, this isn't good. It's something I may want to avoid. Some people may just always be leery, cautious. So we all have different experiences because each one of us, we're all different. We have different thoughts, and our thoughts make up who we are as human beings. It's all based on our thoughts and our emotions, because without thoughts, emotions, or our soul, we really aren't anything. So, okay. So I just find this so fascinating. It was not really originally my area of expertise, but I'm just so fascinated with it. My PhD is in naturopathic medicine. So we did study, you know, vibrations, because we're treating people, you know, as a whole. So it is important that I know this, but that's why when Nick Breiter joins us later, he actually is an expert in this area. So just to let you know, most people on the planet are in the negative. So I'm going to go over the scale with you, but we're not 100% aware of our environment and what's going on. And we just kind of go along, or they call it go with the flow. You know, we just believe everything we see. We listen to the news. Oh, this is real. You know, this is awful. We're just going to believe it. We're going to be sheep. The media tells us to do something, and we just are little, you know, bees, and we just are sheep, and we just go along with it without questioning. The basic above 200 is when the levels go into the positive. By the way, I'm doing a level between 0 and all the way up to 600. I am never probably in this lifetime going to enjoy the level of 600. Some examples would be like Mother Teresa, Jesus Christ would be in the 600 or above level. So most people in general, the world is pretty low currently. Sometimes it's also based on a country or a community or even within a family. Also, when I go over all the different levels, which I'm going to do very soon, know if you see yourself or recognize yourself in one of the levels, that's great. But know that throughout the day that you are flexible. You may have moments of being at a low level. You may have moments of being super high. So you don't have to put yourself in this box, but then we will later get into how to actually raise your vibration level. So I am going to start out with peace, and peace is the highest, one of the highest levels, and it's 600, and it's really an experience of just pure bliss, just oneness, really knowing yourself and who you are, and really connecting to your higher self, connecting to God. There's no duality in your life beyond just separating your own intellect, you know, from your soul. It's just an overall understanding and an illumination and an enlightenment. And it's very rare in the human realm. Like I said, Mother Teresa, Jesus would be in the 600. And when I say 600, what Dr. Hawkins did was he just gave a number. So, and it's just so that we can, you know, put a number to it. So peace, he gives a 600. Under peace, or the next level down, which is still very, very extremely positive, would be joy. And Dr. Hawkins puts joy at 540. And this is love, love that is unconditional and unchanging despite the circumstances and the actions of others. A lot of love that we give is conditional. Somebody does something horrible and that we don't love them as much. But when you're at 540, you can just unconditionally love all that exists and just see the beauty in life, the beauty of just a blade of grass, you know, the beauty of bugs, animals, all creatures. This world is just so exquisite, and we just recognize everything for something that is love. It's the perfection of, you know, creation, which really is perfect. And being compassionate and enormously patient. Sometimes we have friends where we see that they just don't question things. They're not judgmental. They just, you can just, you want to be around them. You know, we have a, just innately, we want to be around people that are more positive because it brings us up. Or we just have a sense that, you know, everything is going to be fine. It's just also at that level of 540, it's a sense of self-completion and self-sufficiency does prevail. The next level would be 500. And that is love, just pure love. And it's a way of being that is forgiving, it's nurturing, and it's supportive. So it just really is a feeling that emits, or an energy that emits from the heart. And it just focuses on the essence of love in any situation, not breaking things down, not detailing every little aspect of what transpired or looking at other people, just really looking at every perception and understanding it and replacing anything with this vision of just pure love. So that's the level 500. 400 is reason. So in this aspect, differentiates humans from the animal world. We've probably heard that before. How are we different from animals? Well, we have the ability to reason. Sometimes we don't reason well. Sometimes we do reason well. But at least we as human beings can reason. And we have reason that that is why we are different than the other animals in the animal kingdom. Interesting. So, it's problem solving, and we have science, we have music, we have medicine, we have philosophy, we have logic. We can express ourselves on so many different levels. And that would be 400 reason. 350 is acceptance. And this energy, it's easygoing, laid back, you know, people that are just seem like they're just, you know, in harmony with the world. They're also flexible. They're free of inner resistance. You know, life is good. You and I are good. No matter what somebody does something that maybe you don't like, they just accept them for who they are and what they're capable of doing. You know, are they what you think your expectations should be? If you're in acceptance, you just accept people for who they are. And there is no need in the level 350 of acceptance to blame. You don't blame others for anything that's happened to them, anything that's happened to yourself. It's a blameless level. And that is 350. Next is willingness, and that's at 310. And I've observed that I do have some friends where I would categorize them as about, you know, 250 or above. And it's willingness is the energy that is survived by virtue of positive attitudes. It welcomes the expressions of life. It's friendly. You know, this level is people that are helpful and they truly want to assist. You know, they seek to be of service, but in all earnest. They don't seek to be in service because it's going to make them look good. They have no expectations. They just simply want to be helpful. They're not somebody that is just, you know, forcing their ideas on you or just taking you under their wing, like, I'm just going to make this happen for you and help you. Not that. It's just an energy level where they just really, truly want to serve without any expectations or any, you know, kudos or any appreciation for their actions. At the level 250, it's just a neutral level. It's just a way of life that is simply comfortable, pragmatic, relatively free of emotionality, so they're not very reactive. If they see a situation, they have practical or pragmatic attitudes about why something happens. They don't immediately go to an emotion of despair or anger or, you know, being hostile towards somebody. They're pretty neutral people. And you may recognize this in a lot of your friends, like, oh, they're just so easygoing. So it's actually a good position to be because they are non-judgmental and non-competitive. It doesn't mean that they don't compete. It means that they're only competing with themselves, that they don't look at everyone else as competition. So that is neutrality, and that is level 250. Continuing on, a level that I see in most people that I encounter is courage, and that's at 200. So when we talk from, you know, low level like 30 going up to 600, 200 is the very beginning of being in the positive. So below 200, it's in the negative of vibration levels. So as we go through some of the lower levels, getting to courage is a really good place to be because you're finally have crossed that threshold of negativity into being positive. So 200, according to Dr. Hawkins, is a very good mark, a very good place to be. And courage is the energy that says, I can do it. It's determined, and you're determined, and you're excited about life, and you're productive, and you're independent, and you're self-empowered, and you're effective in your actions. You think of things as a possibility. At least you have the courage to try. There's no self-doubt in courage. You don't think, I can't do this. Why should I even try? No, you really do have the energy level, the vibration level to say, yes, I can do it and I will do it. Okay, so courage is a terrific place. Pride is the next level. Now that's the sort of the beginning of starting the negative. At this point on, we're going to be in the negative vibration zone. And pride is at 175. And it's a level that is wholly focused on achievement, desire, recognition, specialness, and perfectionism. It feels better to be superior to others. They see themselves as better. They want to be better. They simply are better in their minds. And they will achieve for that recognition. So, unlike somebody that is neutral, that doesn't need the recognition. People that are in the pride, 175, really only do things because they want to be recognized for a great achievement. And they will write about it and they will tell anybody that will listen to them. You've probably had some friends that will talk endlessly about themselves and all of their achievements, as opposed to letting you discover their achievements just through knowing them or hearing about their achievements. Someone that's in the pride, the 175, will have no problem to explain to you all their achievements, but their real purpose of doing that is because they want to show you that they are indeed superior to others, and they want to convince themselves that they are superior to others. Thus, they believe that they are superior to others. They are in their mind only and in their actions. That's pride at 175. Next level is 150, and 150 is anger. Now, as I'm going through these, you know, the anger is in the negative, but once we go down to very low levels like guilt, you know, anger is a good place to be. So as I'm saying this, because I'm descending, it doesn't mean that anger isn't necessarily a good place to be if you had been much lower, because we want to go up the scale. So you can skip energy levels, but in general, it's best not to. It's best to go through each one, because if you skip anger and go right to courage and skip pride, skip anger, pride, then you will eventually have to go through the anger and the pride. So as we learn to let go, which Nick is going to explain this to us, Mr. Nicholas Brighter, later today, then what's going to happen is you'll understand that we do need to go through each one of these levels. Now, again, just as a reminder, if you're in anger, you're not always in anger. As I describe each one of these levels, some people are in anger and it's temporary. They could be at anger, you know, as low as 150, but their baseline is really at typically 250. But something happens that really just brings them down to that anger zone. So we can fluctuate. I think the rule is that we fluctuate throughout a given day about 100. So if you're at 150, you could be at 250 in a day, and you can be as low as, 75 in a day. So, but anger, going back to anger, it's an energy that does overcome a source of fear by force, threats, and attack. So fear is a lower level. We will get to that. But you're overcoming fear where you're at the point that you are actually irritable. You're explosive. You are bitter. You are volatile. You are resentful. And you have an attitude of you want to get even, or I will show you. Now, we all know people that have been at anger, and I've been at anger many, many times where I've been bitter and resentful, and I just sort of envision, you know, how I'm going to get even. I typically don't go there because it doesn't really matter as I go up the levels throughout the day, but, you know, how are you going to get back? Some people, when they stay in the anger, or anger is their baseline, they actually do get back at someone. It doesn't always have a good effect, and it certainly doesn't help their level of vibration. But nonetheless, anger is at 150. It is better than desire. Desire is at the level of 125. Desire is in itself. There's nothing wrong with desire. You know, I'm taking it, talking to you about it on a vibration level. But desire in itself is not a horrible thing, because we all desire things, and how do we achieve it? But to be at the vibration level of desire, which is 125, they are always seeking gain, to acquire something, to acquire pleasure, to getting something outside of themselves. They have an insatiable desire, and they are also never satisfied. They're constantly craving. So sometimes we do know people, maybe it's even ourselves, where we set these little goals. We want to acquire something, thinking that that's going to bring us happiness. But we acquire it, and then we want more because we are never satisfied. You know, I have to have it. Give it to me. I want it. Give it to me now. Is somebody that is in desire. They may even desire a person. They want you to be their boyfriend. They want you to be their girlfriend, their wife, their spouse, their partner, because they just simply want you. Not because there's any love, not because there's any reason or acceptance. They just have the desire. And once they get you, it's never enough. They will constantly criticize you. So desire is at the level of 125. Moving on. We are going to fear. Fear is at the level of 100. I can honestly say that I've been at fear. I've been fearful and preoccupied with security. I've been jealous, restless, anxious, vigilant. So especially when it comes to security in my case, you know, I've just seen some things, you know, I watch the news too much. I think that the news, that our, especially our political system, really wants people to be at the 100 vibration energy level because it keeps the public at large in constant fear. Fear that they're going to lose their job. Fear that they're going to die. Fear that someone's going to take something from them. Fear that their own home is not secure. So a lot of governments, I'm not just saying the United States government, governments try to keep people at a level of fear. Okay. So going down the next level, lower, would be grief. Grief is at a 75. Grief. Now, again, we all will feel grief. Something terrible happens. We have a loved one that passes away, and we will be in a level, a vibration level of just severe sadness, and we're mourning. So just because you're grieving something right now does not mean that that is your base level of energy, because things do happen to other people, and we are, you know, we our hearts just ache. You know, heartache is the level of grief, which is at 75. But the people that are constant level of 75, they truly have a feeling of helplessness, despair, loss, you know, regret, and the feeling, the constant feeling of, oh, if I only had done this, if I only had made this purchase, if I only had made this decision, woe is me. I am so sad. I am depressed. You know, I'm a loser. I just can't go on. So grief is at the level of 75. And not to say that we all haven't been there at one point. But then again, you don't want to remain there. We're going to go down to the level, which is 50. And that's apathy. And this energy level is really characterized by just sheer hopelessness. Playing dead. You are so drained. You are a drain to others. You feel paralyzed. You feel immobilized. Your emotions are so paralyzed that you just can't even move on. And not only can you not move on, you feel that, why should you? Why does it matter anyway? Apathy is one of the energy levels that is difficult to get. You can rise above apathy, because you feel the sense of hopelessness, so something does have to happen. Some people remain there for a long time because they don't even have the wherewithal or the strength to even think that they could get better or anything could be better in their life. Poverty is common in apathy. And so sometimes people just, they grow up in a life of poverty. They grow up around people that are completely impoverished. They think it's just the way of life. There's nothing they can do about it. Enter the hopelessness of being impoverished, or just being that life, you know, what? Why am I even here? Why doesn't any of this matter? You know, you just, it doesn't, in fact, you don't even think that much about why. You know, why is actually a good question, but we'll get into that later. But really, who cares? It doesn't. It just doesn't matter. Lastly, it's guilt. And that is at a vibration level of 30. And this energy field is when somebody really, they're in a state of apathy and a deep, deep depression, but they reject themselves. So it's really they're masochists, and they have such an overwhelming feeling of remorse that they actually will self-sabotage themselves. It's all my fault. They seem to be, you know, accident prone. Not that people aren't accident prone that are at a much higher level. So I'm just saying these are people that are, their baseline is in guilt. They do tend to have suicidal behavior. And so when people are at that level of suicide, they're typically in the guilt realm. And they do project self-hatred, even hatred unto evil, you know, the others, evils of others, because they see themselves as being evil. It's really the baseline of many psychosomatic illnesses. So lastly is shame, and that is pretty much 20. A lot of people that are in shame, we don't come across people very often in shame because they have such low energy levels that it's almost like they just don't have any flow, and they don't even think, they're people that don't even seem to be awake. You know, they may just sleep all day. You know, they sort of banish themselves from life. They don't deserve life. They're in a state of humiliation. They're always hanging their head down. They can't accomplish anything. They're very disruptive to their own health. They're cruel towards themselves, but they're also cruel towards others. So it's not a vibration level where very many people are, or at least if you're at that level and you can't rise above it, you're not around very long. I know, I don't know how to say it, but it's really one of the lowest levels to be. In fact, any lower would be death. So anyway, so we've gone over the levels of right now, of all of the levels, basically, and there's many more to fill in because, you know, we've skipped from, you know, 50, you know, 30 or 20 up to 30, up to 50, up to, so there's little levels in between. And the purpose of this podcast is to explain it so you can maybe recognize where you are, how you fluctuate. And then we're going to get in how to let go, the actual process, the mechanism of how to improve yourself, improve your energy level. We are going to continue on with talking about our energy levels. What we did previously is we went from shame, which was an energy level of 20, all the way, we actually started with 600, which is about the highest energy level that a human could probably experience, although 600, they say, is not always in the human realm. But why do we have energy levels? You know, we know that there's energy all around us. Well, what does all this mean? Our energy levels, you know, our circumstances, what do we mean? But in general, we can say that the lower end of the scale, you know, shame are probably really low, like we can go 75, you know, or below. The lower end is associated with a lower vibration frequency or lower energy, lower power, a poor life circumstance or circumstances, poor relationships, poor abundance, less love, poor physical and emotional health, because it's all associated with your vibration levels. And so your body is usually in poor health, and that is true. And because of the low energy, people become a little needy, and needy people will often drain the energy from people that are maybe a level or two higher, so they tend to not be want to be around them. They may try to help, but then the person is still in despair. They go right back to their super low energy. They're not, because they're not willing to let go. They haven't actually resolved the issues of why they are actually at that level, the negative feelings that have accumulated and just simply piled up, you know, in their brain. Just something to consider is our brains, our computer. You know, you've probably heard that before. You know, it's a filing system, and it files all of our experiences, all of our perceptions that sometimes have nothing to do, in fact, most of the time, with fact. It's just our perceptions of what we see, all of our negative feelings about any particular subject or event or even ourselves. Our brain is like a computer, and it files it. And then there might be an occasion where an event happens, and your brain will pull up from that file. It's just like a computer. So the whole purpose of the book Letting Go is we're going to clean up our computer, our mind that is, in a sense, a computer. We're going to clean it up, and certain big major things we're going to let it go. And so we're going to learn a little later how to actually do that. You know, how do we let go of negative feelings? You know, what's the progressive movement up the scale? Because if you're in the negative, you at least want to get to courage. And what's your courage and beyond the effectiveness and your success level? And it's a little more effortless to get to abundance or whatever it is that you really want in life. And so, and at that point, once you're in the positive, you do tend to seek out people that are at a higher level than you are. You're attracted to them. In fact, you may even refer to that person as, they're just on a high. You know, they have a green thumb. Everything they touch is golden. You know, people just like them. They just don't, you know, they're not very judgmental. So we want to be around people like that, because there's been many times where you maybe have assisted somebody that is at such a low vibration level that they're in such despair that it's hopeless, and that they'll take your help, but they don't really think it's going to make much of a difference. And it is draining on the person that is trying to assist them. Especially if it's a person that's at the level where they want to look good. So they want you to at least have a little bit of success so that they can enjoy that success. You know, the people that are in desire, let's say. But your energy levels are traditionally associated with your body energy and the centers. Maybe you've heard of chakras, or you've seen the chakra chart. It shows somebody, you know, sitting in a lotus position, or as my kids would say, crisscross applesauce. You know, you're sitting with your legs crossed and your back straight, and you go through the chakras. Now, the chakras in our body, their levels are all in the plus, let's say 200 plus. So let's do a map of our sort of our consciousness, you know, our chakra, you know, how it calibrates itself. So the crown, being the top of your head, would be 600. Your third eye, middle of your forehead, is about 525. Your throat chakra is at 350. Your heart is at 550, because remember we went to, you know, joy and peace and love. Love comes from your heart. Your solar plexus, 275. Your spleen would be at 275. And your root chakra, or your base, is about 200. So all of the levels of your chakra are within the higher levels, or the positive levels of vibration. So a lot of people will seek out somebody that might do Reiki. They're dealing with their chakras and their energy levels, and so that they can help relinquish, you know, any negative feelings, get their energy to rise up, you know, by increasing their chakras, as they say. And, you know, some people will even say that you do your venting out of your spleen. So sometimes if you're getting Reiki, you know, and I've done it once, and it was actually fabulous to lay on a table, and there's somebody that has energy in their hands, and they don't actually touch your body, but they go over and they, you know, they're clearing out your chakras so that, you know, anything that's negative that may be stuck in one area of your chakra is you know, they kind of whisk it away. This is an area that I am not an expert on, the chakras. I find it fascinating. I'm willing to be a participant. I am not a student. I am not a Reiki expert, but I know what they do, and I know that it is of benefit to me. I've had some friends that have actually gone to have you know, a little vibration with somebody that is an expert, and they'll do Reiki on them. And they'll say, well, I don't feel anything different. Well, it's not the same as going and getting a massage. You know, sometimes you don't feel anything immediately. Immediately. It's not where they're actually working on a muscle and relaxing that muscle and you instantly feel something. No, some people do instantly feel something. But it's not exactly the same. It's just really working with your chakra flows. I'm fascinated by the chakras. And of course, it was mentioned a lot in the book, Letting Go. And by the way, just as a reminder, I am covering the book, Letting Go by Dr. David R. Hawkins. And the book is called Letting Go, The Pathway of Surrender. And I highly recommend that you make a purchase of this book if you are interested in raising your levels of vibration. So, because you don't want to stay in a lower emotional state of negativity, because not only does staying there influence your own life, it also influences the life of people around you. Where a higher emotional level will actually have more of a positive effect on your life and also the people around you. So just something to really think about. Lower levels of emotion are also, they have some limitations. They really just blind you to the reality of your world and who your true self is. Isn't that what we all want to know? Well, I want to know, you know, who we are. And we are much more than just the computer that categorizes and files and brings up, when we don't want it to often, negative feelings just based on what we're witnessing at that moment. If you're seeing a car accident, some people may all of a sudden go into a higher level of consciousness and say, okay, I'm going to go in. They take action. They resolve the situation. They may help the person. They may be a witness. Other people may all of a sudden, these negative feelings come up and they are traumatized all over again because of something that may have happened to them. So it's really with the anatomy of emotions, it's really understanding your emotions and your emotional field and your memory bank, the filing system. And in the filing system, it's really based on your feelings or your feeling tone. So it, again, it does not have anything to do with fact. It just has to do with what you're feeling. Because sometimes we'll say, why do I feel so unreasonable about this? Why am I so upset where no one around me seems to be upset over something? It's because it was based on a feeling that you experienced before. So now, in kind, your body also has positive feelings. So we're going to learn how to store and have our mind file away all things that are positive, and we're going to eliminate things that are negative and get us all to that level in the positive of 200, which is courage. So meanwhile, moving on, you know, there's certain things that we need to do in life, and it's like, how do you handle emotional crises? You know, what do we do? What does our body do? You know, are we afraid? Are we doing something wonderful in our life? Or, you know, where are we? Where is our energy level? And that is going to determine how you handle your emotional crises. As your energy level goes up, you are able to handle it better, basically, is what I'm trying to say. And there's a lot of past trauma and just past experience. It doesn't have to be something that is horrible that happened to you. It can be something where you just have a pessimistic approach. You just think, oh, you know, I'm just a victim. These are painful emotions. Boy, this little thing triggered me. It doesn't have to be something that was like you were at war or something that is super, super traumatic, because your feelings don't necessarily differentiate, you know, It's just, it could be from 0 to 100. And I'm talking about a different scale, a scale of being triggered. So someone else can have an experience of being bit by a dog and they see a dog and all of a sudden they're triggered. Or someone else could have experience watching the death of a friend during wartime, and or they were a soldier. And that trauma in their mind is just the same as someone that was bit by a dog. So it's not, we're not here to judge somebody's trauma or their trauma's worth or that trauma. And that is something, oddly enough, that's common, like, oh, pff, you know, like my trauma's worth in your trauma. Some people actually identify with their trauma. It's so ingrained to be triggered that they will talk endlessly and about their trauma. Talking is good, but identifying your entire being based on the trauma is not good. So anyway, we are going to have Nicholas Brighter join us, and that is when we are going to be going through the mechanisms of how to actually let go of these negative feelings that we're holding in. Now, just keep in mind, it doesn't mean that the negative occurrence or the negative event did not happen. It means that your mind is not making you live and breathe and experience it all over again. You're not triggered. Yes, it happened, and you accept that it happened. You know, you hear that expression, forgive yourself, especially if you're in the realm of guilt. By letting go of your guilt, and that doesn't mean that you shouldn't have felt guilty. It means that the guilt is not going to rule your life. So I used to personally have a problem with people say, oh, I'm forgiving myself. I'm like, well, why? Why should you forgive yourself? You did something horrible. But you have to. You really do have to forgive yourself so that you're not living in the negative forever. Because if you really want to help people, or people that were your victims at one time even, you know, because of something horrible that you did, you have to be in a higher vibration level in order to have, you know, healthy communication. So there is a point where you do need to forgive yourself. Okay, so we are going to take another little break here. And Nick from the Brighter Institute, Mr. Nicholas Brighter, who is the founder of the Brighter Institute, will be joining us. If you have any questions, you are welcome to send us an email and we will talk about, you know, what you want us to talk about on the next episode of the Brighter Life Show. And our email is thebrighterlife@mail.com. And that's the Brighter Life, thebrighterlife. That's thebrighterlife@mail.com. And we will talk about anything that you think would be interesting, or maybe a stage or level where you are, or somebody where you identify someone else. Because also, there's occasions where we have to work with somebody that's at a lower vibration. And then you have to determine where your vibration is and how you can not let yourself get lower because of just being in their presence, or how you can actually, by your presence, help them raise their vibrational energy level. And next up will be Mr. Nicholas Brighter. Stay with us, people. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is the Brighter Life Show on Trim Radio, and I am here with Mr. Nicholas Brighter from the Brighter Institute. Hi, Nick.
Hello, Leslie. I'm happy to be back.
Yay. I know, because this is, what is this?
This is the Brighter Life Show.
Yeah, well, indeed it is, but we...
Oh, we're on season two.
I know. That's so exciting. Episode one of season two.
It's kind of surprising to think about it.
I know that we've gone through a whole season. Now we're beginning it, the fall season. So this is pretty exciting stuff. But as promised, what I'm going to talk to Nick about is the mechanics, or just techniques that you can use to basically release and relax, you know, release some of your fears, some of your anxiety, release the past you know, emotions, negative emotions, so that we can go up the scale of vibrations. And I'm going to talk about the technique that I think is a really great technique. And it's actually a Hawkins technique. And I call it, I'm not sure if Hawkins calls it this, but the 4-Y. 4-Y.
The 4-Y. That sounds like something I've read from Hawkins.
4-Y. Did he actually say 4-Y? Okay, so I don't have the book in front of me. And I'm referencing the book Letting Go.
I'm just saying it seems fitting.
Okay, yeah, it does, doesn't it? It's like 4-Y. 4-Y. So let's say you're at a vibration that is a pride, for example, and you want to go up a vibration. And so you just ask yourself a series of questions. And the questions are, it's always the same. It's for why? For why? Why? What's the purpose? So, for example, let's say that you want to buy yourself a fancy smancy car, mm-hmm. You know, bright red sports car, let's say that. And you ask yourself, for why? Why do I want this car? You know, why? Can I afford this car? You have all sorts of questions. Why do I want this car? And it may be, well, it's because I deserve the car. For why? Why do you deserve this car? Well, I deserve it because I worked hard. Then why do you need the car? Because I want other people to recognize that mm-hmm. I've worked hard. Why else? And you go down and you keep asking yourself until you get to your true self and why you want the car. And it could be something that is completely the opposite of owning the car. It could be security.
I would mention that it can take a number of steps to.
I kind of jumped there, didn't I? Okay, well, let's go through some more.
Well, it's a good example, but someone could have many steps, more than we'd want to probably actually say on a show, because, you know, there could be 20 steps before they.
So it's quite individual.
Yeah.
So some people could find it out in 3 steps. Some people might take 23 steps or 103 steps.
Yeah.
But in the case of the car, you could go down to, well, I want status. Well, why do you want status? Because then people will think I have money. Why do you want people to think you have money? Because maybe I'll attract more people that have money. Why do you want to attract more people that have money? Because then I'll continue to have money. Why do you think that's going to help you continue to have money? Because I'll be around other people that are like-minded. Okay. It may stop there, or it may go on to, you have a fear of losing mm-hmm. money.
Right.
You have a fear of losing money. You need to face that fear. And once you actually go down to that's your reason why, then you go back up. Do you really want the car?
And I think in general, something that's very common with this, which I've heard you mention, is that it's very often security or survival minded or fear. You know, I fear if I don't have if I'm not looked at in this way, that, you know, I'll lose my source of income, therefore lose my house, therefore I'll die.
Right. You can go straight down to shame, right? One of the lowest level of vibrations, right? And then I'll die. So that's just one example. So it's a 4-Y technique. Anything in your life that you fear. Sometimes it's breaking it down to, like, I'll give myself an example. I am a time freak. I love to be on time. But the issue is I get anxiety if I'm not on time. Mm-hmm. I get anxiety thinking about not being on time. If I'm on a schedule. So I am anxious. You've probably observed this yourself.
Nick. Yeah, I've
will get anxious if I'm not on time. Well, why is that? And then I can go down my line, and I actually have done this technique, so I do know why, and it's because I was raised in a family where people were late, and I saw the looks of pity mm-hmm. from other people, or disappointment, or even anger that people gave the late family. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want that. So my anxiety goes down to that actual fear of having somebody be angry at me or disappointed because of my tardiness.
And I could actually sort of using the technique that you just explained, and it's a pretty simple technique, and I think it can uncover things and help people. I think you could even go a little bit further than that, like why, what's the fear with having people look at you with in that way.
Because then they won't like me, and then it could, I mean, it could really, you could take it a whole nother level.
Then nobody will like me.
So. And then I will be friendless.
Then no one will like me, and I'll have no friends, and I'll die alone in a hole somewhere.
Right.
In a box.
Right.
On the side of the road.
With no name on it.
With no name on it. Yeah. Not even a brand name box.
Right. Okay. Well, they'll ship you off to California, where I think you can legally just,
or
be
Washington.
Thrown in someone's backyard. I think, really, is it Washington? I'm not sure. So that is one technique, and that's actually, I mean, we've done a miniature version of Hawkins, but it's called the 4-Y technique, and it's just asking yourself a series of questions, but you're basically getting down to the core of who you are and looking at yourself. And sometimes we do things and we act certain ways because we don't want to see ourselves.
So it's sort of like finding for something that you want, or for something that you're trying to uncover, what is my base motivation?
Yes. And by recognizing it and seeing it, what happens is it releases, and then you can actually relax and make a better decision if you need that car, or if you really have to be such a time freak, or do you really need to hold on to the anxiety? A lot of people are on time with no anxiety. Why did I have the anxiety? So I had to ask myself, why?
It would be, you would be uncovering something that it would be some belief you have, and that belief might... I know in some cases you'll find that base belief isn't true because it's a belief that you haven't looked at for years, or it's a belief that you made when you were a child, and so it couldn't be really easy. But it all comes down, the base motive is dependent on a belief, and so you can either release the feeling you have, or it might be something that's easy to change your mindset.
Oh, excellent. Yes. Okay. Yeah. You know what? I wasn't even thinking in those terms. I was just thinking about, when you actually face it, your perception of it is different. It's not trauma. It's not anxiety. So it doesn't mean that...
Having the knowledge of what is my real motive here, that
yes,
why I feel this
and going
way.
Down to your, facing your fears and facing yourself. Some of us, don't even want to face ourselves.
Well, in some way, it's intuitively scary to do that. But once you've done something like that enough and learned that every time you do it, you're better off afterwards. And it doesn't kill you. You're still alive afterwards. Mm-hmm. And you're better off. And it's not this horrible thing.
But your well-being altogether is improved.
So, yes. The more you do it, the less the fear of looking at yourself is going to hold you back, because you know that in the end it helps you.
Okay, excellent. And so, anyone that is listening, think about something, some fear you have, or when you have anxiety, and then do the, 4-Y technique. And I think that it will be effective. So that's just another example of how you can use the technique in very simple things. Like, I happen to have a fear of spiders. Mm-hmm. But more so than other people, my fear of spiders are insane, and I haven't used the technique yet, and I'm going to very soon. By actually seeing it and facing it, you're able to release it and then relax, and then you can make a better decision.
As a accepting release or surrender?
It is more of a simply facing that fear.
Okay.
Whatever the fear is, by seeing it, you're actually visualizing
accepting
it.
That part of you.
Yes, yes.
And from there, you can then maybe work to change it.
Well, you don't even have to work to change it. I mean, that's the beauty of it.
Just being
by
aware.
Simply facing it, seeing it, at least it's still there, but it's not going to give you the anxiety or the negative emotions attached to it.
Okay.
The car example could be someone could want this car, but they're a little anxious about getting it, but then their desire to want it, because they're stuck in desire, is so great. So another technique that I'm going to talk very briefly about, because we are running out of time, and I just want to thank everyone for sticking with us. It's actually called the, people will sometimes call it the tapping technique, or the EFT for emotional freedom technique. And it is simply where if you have certain anxiety or trauma or experience a traumatic event that is affecting your life every day. It's affecting your life. It's keeping your vibration level very low. And the technique is very simple. As you look at a wall, you visualize the actual traumatic event. Mm-hmm. It could be witnessing a child drowning, which I was working with someone, and that is their story. They witness somebody, a child drown, and so they can't even be by water. And so they use a visualization technique where they actually look at a wall, pretend, so it separates them from it. So they're actually looking at the event. They run it through their mind, and as you're doing it, you tap your person, your actual body. You can tap your collarbone as you're watching it on the wall. That
doesn't matter where you're tapping.
Well, a lot of people think that you should do it in your chakras. Mm. So it could be, you know, that your crown, the top of your head is a very good place, especially if you're alone. The middle of your forehead where your third eye would be. A lot of people just do it by, you know, their heart, the middle of their chest, closest to their heart. And you can even see people that do it unconsciously. They're talking to you and they're kind of tapping like the middle of their chest. Have you ever seen someone do that? And it's soothing, and it helps them actually get through whatever, you know, anxiety that they have.
I think when I see that it looks like a self-comforting.
It is. But as you visualize, some people do that for self-comforting. Okay. But if you actually visualize the wall, you know, and visualize what the traumatic experience was, do the tapping, and then it helps release so that you can relax.
So are you visualizing apologizing for interrupting you there. Are you visualizing the wall and the traumatic event
yes.
at the same time?
Yeah, it's like it's a movie projector on the wall. Okay. It's like, so you actually visual, so it separates you so that the event isn't in your head, like in your body. It's not in every fiber of your being and your you re-experience it. You're watching the traumatic event happen on a wall. And it just helps your brain. You know, I was talking earlier about your brain is a computer, and it helps it just delete that from your emotional side. It doesn't mean the event didn't happen. Okay. It means your the emotions that are attached to it are not so great that it's disruptive to your life and your well-being. So that's it for now. We're going to talk about this later in the next episode. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Leslie. I was happy to be back.
I know. I just can't believe that we're at the beginning of season two, and this is going to be a great season. So everyone out there, you have a wonderful day. And if you have any questions, you can send us an email at thebrighterlife@mail.com. Thank you and goodbye.